This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way. This episode is brought to you by Spoonful Magazine. What if your favorite cookbook were to refresh itself four times a year as the seasons change? That's Spoonful Magazine. Get a one-year subscription now at spoonfulmag.com and receive free shipping with the promotion code Spilled Milk. That's spoonfulmag.com, promotion code Spilled Milk.
I'm Molly.
And I'm Matthew. Quickly. I forgot we were on a show.
He didn't have his headphones on. And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any unless it's Christmas time. You're on our Christmas list.
Which you're not. And today we're talking about holiday cookies.
I should also say, I meant to use the word holiday a minute ago. I didn't mean to just say Christmas.
Oh, I missed. I wasn't paying attention to what you said. I was still fumbling with my headphones and waking up from my nap.
Okay, cool. All right.
You know, in The Night Before Christmas when...
All through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse.
Yeah, you know when that happens?
You know, the stockings were hung by the chimney with care in hopes that St. Nicholas would soon be there.
Yeah, it's the story of my life. I was thinking about the part with Ma in her kerchief and I in my cap and just settled down for a long winter's nap. They're getting a little afternoon delight in, right?
Yeah, that's exactly
sure.
What it is.
I bet this has been observed
a long
thousands of times
nap.
Since, who wrote that? Washington Irving?
Do people still call it that?
Oh, that's a good question.
Like, do you text Lori and you're like, hey, baby, want to come home for some afternoon delight? And she's like, do you mean sunny delight? Sunny D.
Yes, we call it, we refer to it as Sunny D, but the D does not stand for delight. I got some Sunny D here for you, baby. Oh yeah, well, I got some high C. I don't know.
Anyway, seriously, okay. Afternoon delight, does anybody call it that?
Maybe, I'm sorry, I'm thinking
like,
about
do
like...
Do people use the word quickie anymore?
Oh boy, so afternoon delight, I feel like, is something you could still say in kind of like a nudgy, ironic way. Uh-huh. Quickie, I don't think anybody says anymore.
I don't
anymore.
Think anybody says
You know, it's
it.
Like a thing...
Like if somebody were to nudge me and be like, hey, want to have a quickie? I'd be like...
Just a stranger?
I'd be like... No.
No, and please stop showing up at my office.
I don't have an office.
Yeah, that's the whole scenario is kind of odd. Quickie, like, is that a term for like the 60s, the 70s? I feel like it's something an advice columnist would say. Like,
what would they be advising? Like, how to reinvigorate your relationship?
Yes, exactly. Like, you know, go to bed naked, have a quickie.
go to bed naked. Is that something people need to be reminded to do?
I don't know.
Do you sleep naked?
Not usually. Do you?
I do.
Oh, interesting.
I didn't used to. I sometimes sleep in a t-shirt.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Cool. Interesting. Like, I'm trying to move on and think about something else. We'll talk about this more later. Okay, do you want to talk about holiday cookies?
Sure, let's
at
do
any
it.
Time?
I mean, let's not do it.
All right. Ooh. So you are a person who makes holiday cookies, or at least have mm-hmm. in the past, because I received.
I do it every year.
Okay, I've received only a holiday once a cookie year. Assortment. you don't also do it in July? for your annual Christmas in July promotion? I love your seasonal promotion so much. Like, I
do you get really excited when you get one of my flyers in the mail?
That's right. Like, I cannot think about Flag Day the same way anymore after what you did this year.
What did I do this year?
Well, I think you like wrapped yourself in an American flag and
slept in it.
And slept in it. and then gave
that
it.
That is patriotism, folks.
And then sent it to the troops. Yeah. with a photo.
Okay.
Seasonal promotions. Okay. Yeah. We're never going to get through this episode.
We are not going to get through this episode.
So I've received your holiday cookie assortment. Remind me what was it.
Well, hold on. Let me talk about where this tradition comes from in my life. This is otherwise known as the memory lane segment.
Oh, yeah.
Perhaps you've heard of it. So when I was growing up, we had these family friends, the Fretwells, Ed and Barbara Fretwell and their daughter, Leslie Fretwell, who was one grade ahead of me. And when I was a wee young thing, perhaps before I was born, actually, my mom and Barbara started doing holiday baking together every year. And these women were so industrious. They would do, I would say, I'm not exaggerating, 8 to 10 different types of cookies.
Wow.
And because they were making enough of each cookie for each of them to give to all of their various people, I mean, it was like a factory. And they would do all the baking at the Fretwell's house. And every afternoon after school, my mom would pick me up and bring me back to the Fretwell's house. And I have such fond memories of eating like warm, like unsandwiched Linzer cookies.
Oh,
and,
nice.
God, that smell, like when you walk in out of the cold. And their kitchen floor had these like large terracotta tiles that were like slightly domed. So,
interesting. Like, did it feel good on your feet?
It felt kind of weird to walk across, but I have such strong memories of that kitchen.
Of dropping cookies on the tiles
cookies.
And then eating them.
Yes, in fact. Anyway, but so when I was, I don't know, in my mid-20s, I started, actually around the time I moved to Seattle, so 14 years ago, I started making some of my mom's holiday cookies each year, and I still do it. And now that my mom lives in Seattle, I get to make them with her.
I was just going to ask that.
But we have only been doing like 4 or 5 varieties because I'm no Barbara Fretwell.
Yeah. So what do you make?
So we make the Linzer cookies that my mom and Barbara always made.
So those are the ones with, it's like a sandwich cookie with jam in the middle that the top is cut out.
Yes. Okay. And dusted with powdered sugar. There's usually some kind of ground up nut in the dough. In this case, I believe ours is, it's a pecan dough. As I recall.
So I think of these as being kind of a the upscale cousin of like a jam thumbprint cookie.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that, I don't know, there are some Linzers that are on the more plain end of the spectrum, maybe without nuts in them. And those sort of feel more like Americana to me, like a jam print cookie. My mom's, yeah, it has lemon zest in the dough and pecans, ground up pecans. So it's really like delicious and sophisticated.
Is that a hard cookie to make? That seems like a lot.
It's not that hard
of work.
It's really not that hard. No, because you're doing almost the entire thing in the food processor.
Okay, but not the cutout part.
That is kind of tedious, and you have to roll them out thinner than you would think, or else you wind up with basically like an ice cream sandwich whip kind
sure.
of cookie. So Linzer cookies, we make a toffee that has like that instant espresso powder in it and walnuts.
Oh, yeah.
That's really good. We make Russian tea cakes, a.k.a. Mexican wedding cookies.
A.k.a. Mexican wedding cakes, a.k.a. snowballs, a.k.a. pecan puffs, a.k.a. many other things.
Butterballs? I feel like some people,
sure.
maybe.
Do you know anything about the history of that cookie? I don't.
I know nothing.
Okay.
Okay,
great.
Moving right along. We also made these things called chocolate rads that ran in Bon Appetit when I was a kid, and mom tore out the recipe and now we make them. They have like 3 different types of chocolate in them. It's like a chocolate cookie.
Do you know why they're called chocolate rads?
Because they have a radical amount of chocolate.
Nice.
It's very 90s.
I really miss being able to say rad.
I've started saying it again.
Is it coming back? Or just, you're bringing it back?
I'm bringing it back.
Okay.
Let's see. Other things that I've made. So this is a weird thing. Does this count as a cookie? You take a whole bunch of dried fruits.
I think it's like a piece of salami.
a whole bunch of dried fruits.
Okay.
And some nuts. And you grind them all separately in the food processor. So they're quite fine, but still like not a paste.
Okay.
And then you moisten them with brandy. And you basically mash them and roll them into balls and then roll them in powdered sugar, let them dry out a little bit overnight, and then dip them in chocolate.
Okay, I'm a little confused. Why do you grind them separately?
Oh, because if you grind them all together, it's like too much in the food processor.
Okay, but then you,
and you don't want to grind
all the ground bits together?
Yes.
Or is it... okay.
Yes, and then you moisten it with brandy.
Is that a cookie?
Like, because, you know, we talk about holiday cookies, but the truth is I think a lot of holiday cookies verge on candy, verge on, what's a whole bunch of, like, boozed up dried fruit and nuts?
Okay, I'm going to, you know, in the way that Dan Pashman of The Sporkful, our arch rival, would, you know, he would try and come up with a rule for what defines a cookie and what's not a cookie. I'm going to say my rule is if it comes out of a tin at near the end of the year, it's a cookie.
Cool. Okay.
If not, it's not a cookie.
Great. Okay. Cool.
So, like, if you open the tin and a snake jumps out, that's a cookie.
Not a cookie.
No, that is a cookie because it came out of a tin.
Oh, I understand now.
No, refer to the rule.
Okay.
I have it tattooed on my chest.
Okay. What about you? What's your history with holiday cookies?
Okay, my history with holiday cookies is I don't make them. If they're around, I'll eat them. And I definitely have strong opinions
on... Wow, that's
a
rich history.
Yeah, it's a storied history.
It is.
If you refer to this mural, which is also on my chest, you know, chest murals, they're coming back. But I mean, obviously I have strong opinions on like which are my favorites and which are my least favorites. I do like a chocolate rat. I remember those very well. Mm-hmm, and the toffee is real good too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the toffee is one of my favorites. Oh, peppermint bark.
Oh, that's good stuff.
That's definitely in the candy department. But by our rule today, it is becoming a cookie.
Yes, it's finding itself. You know, it may have been born a candy, but it is a cookie.
Yeah, it's okay inhabiting a middle zone.
Yes. Anyway, the peppermint bark, I love it. It's kind of a fragile thing. I mean, it can be, it can shatter. It can also like
melt. Like instantly. That's the tricky thing with, I think, a lot of holiday cookie tins is that you've got cookies and you've got candies. Like, so things that can be kept at room temp and things that need to be in the fridge.
Yep.
But they're all together in the same tin. And I know I'm guilty of foisting this kind of dilemma upon people every year.
Now,
what do you do with the tin that I give you?
Well, when I don't remember, I mean, you know, I like reach in periodically and eat whatever I pull out,
okay.
Even if it's a snake. Do you, let me ask a related question. How do you pack the tin?
My mom has always used those like metal tins that, you know, have really cheesy things on them.
Oh, for sure.
And I still subscribe to that.
So
you like the more Norman Rockwell-y, the better.
I'm going to interrupt to say that a few years ago, so I have this habit wherein every time an oven mitt wears out, I will go to the Broadway QFC and go to the housewares department in the basement and try and find the cheesiest oven mitt to replace it with. And one time I got one that said, "Bloom where you're planted" on it. And that was my finest achievement. And I will never stop saying that.
Oh, that's
so if you
so
give me a tin that said
sweet.
"Bloom where you're planted," I'd say this is the best Christmas
I'll
ever.
I'll see what I can do. Anyway, my mom always lined hers with colored cellophane.
Yes.
Either green or red. I have a hard time finding the colored kind now, so we just do clear.
Okay.
And the ones that are cookies, like Linzers, those are very stackable. And I always try to stack them so they hit this perfect height where when I fold over the excess cellophane, there's like enough pressure between the cellophane and the lid to keep the Linzers in place. Like they're stacked maybe like four high.
I'm kind of in awe.
So I do that. And then the things like the toffee, you just kind of pile in there. The things that get sticky, like peppermint bark, I will stack those and then wrap them in wax paper before I put them into the tin.
Do you ever just not put something in the tin and put in a note instead? This is like, I don't trust you to care for this cookie properly, but I just want you to know that I made it.
So a long time ago, like a decade ago, I made these cookies out of Bon Appetit magazine. Rest in peace, Bon Appetit magazine.
Still exists.
I mean Gourmet Magazine. I mean Gourmet. Rest in peace, Gourmet. I made these cookies called spoon cookies, and the dough had brown butter in it. It was like a shortbread type dough with brown butter in it. And then you would press the dough into the well of a teaspoon so that you got like this,
kind of an almond egg shape.
Egg-shaped, it's flat on one side.
What do you, and like then a quenelle?
No, because you would flatten the part that was facing up.
So like half a quenelle.
Half a quenelle. So then you would sandwich two of those with jam.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, those cookies were so labor intensive that I kind of felt like no one was deserving of that cookie. Like I should keep them all myself because all the pressing into the spoon and the careful extraction. I was like, I've earned these cookies. These are mine and mine alone.
No, I am absolutely on your team on this one.
Anyway, they're wonderful cookies, but I've never made them again because no one was worthy of them. This episode is brought to you by Third Love.
Third Love's 24/7 t-shirt bra might be the most comfortable bra you'll ever own.
It is. It is. I mean, I really love these bras. I have two of them. As you know, does everyone remember what colors I have?
That's I think everyone does.
Right. That's right. I have a black one and a vivacious one.
I would have gotten that quiz 100% on that quiz. A+.
You know what? I don't know that they're selling the vivacious color anymore. Mm. So
could we have a contest where someone could win yours?
Yes. Yes. Stay tuned for the end of this message to find out how to win. Not at all.
The 24/7 t-shirt bra, it'll support you in whatever you want to do.
In all your endeavors.
Yes.
It's affirming. It's supportive. It's inclusive of both breasts.
Yes. It comes in full sizes and half sizes.
Yes. And the other thing is, I mean, you should go to the Third Love website and look around. This 24/7 t-shirt bra is a fantastic, basic, everyday bra. They also have some real foxy lace situations.
Oh, for sure. And also, I was on, you know, you might be concerned about buying a bra online. Like, what if it doesn't fit? Will I be able to send it back? The answer is yes.
Yes.
You know, and how do I know I'm getting the right size? Because, you know, they vary from manufacturer to manufacturer. They have some great tools on their website for figuring out what's going to be the best fit for you on the first try.
And it's so cool that the bras come in half sizes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, it's basically a no lose proposition. You're being propositioned by Third Love.
For sure.
Hope you enjoy. Anyway, you can get the bra. You just pay for shipping. You can wear it for 30 days. Do whatever you do in your bra. If you like it, keep it, and they'll charge your card. If you don't like it, send it back. No harm done.
And to do that, you will go to thirdlove.com/spilledmilk.
That's thirdlove.com/spilledmilk.
Here is, this isn't even on the agenda, but it occurs, this is to me the ultimate holiday cookie, even though, you know, it's not anyone's traditional holiday cookie. And we've talked about them before. It's the Martha Stewart chocolate malt sandwich cookies.
Yes.
Like anytime.
I've had those at your house.
Yes. Anytime I can convince, it's my favorite cookie ever. And anytime I can convince my wife to make them, there's no reason I couldn't make them. But
hold on. What makes something a holiday cookie? Because they're no less holiday-y than the chocolate rads.
You're absolutely right. If you put them in a tin, they would be a holiday cookie.
Yeah. You know what holiday cookie I have always wanted to make is one of those like Italian-American like rainbow bars.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Where it's almost like a really dense cake that's flavored with almond extract. And then it's like, you know, dyed some sort of horrendous color. And there are three layers of it put together.
Yeah.
And it's like sandwiched with chocolate and stuff. Or
sure.
Jam and chocolate.
I don't know them well enough to tell you what's in there.
I always wanted to make those. But talk about tedious. I don't think I can. I'm just not that kind of.
We're doing a lot of talking about like cookies that are too hard to make. Is that really the holiday? By the way, I think it is Thanksgiving today as people are listening to this episode.
Well,
American Thanksgiving. Canadian Thanksgiving already over.
Sorry, Canada.
Why did I say congratulations? Congratulations on beating.
You got through
it. You beat us to the Thanksgiving punch, Canada.
Again,
year after year, Canada shows us up by doing Thanksgiving first.
Hey, quick question. So, like, you know, now that we're closing in on the old holiday season,
yes.
What cookies are you guys going to make this year? Or are you just going to make Lori make all of them as usual?
I just realized something, which is also as people are listening to this, the American presidential election is over.
We're taping this before the presidential election is over, but, and it seems like an impossible fantasy that it will ever end.
Yep. Okay. So.
Oh my gosh, it's going to be so good to be on the other side of this.
Oh, I know. I'm feeling relieved just imagining listening to this episode on the day that it comes out.
Maybe out of just like the pure bountiful joy that I'll be feeling, I'm going to make spoon cookies for everyone. For like
everyone in America.
Everyone in America.
And everyone in the world who had to deal with this bullshit.
Yes, yes. That is how good I'm going to feel when this is over.
Oh, yes. Okay. Here's what I want to make. I want to make soda cracker toffee this year.
What is that?
Soda cracker toffee it's a recipe that you put saltines down in a pan and you like put butterscotch or like caramel over them and a layer of chocolate, and it's like cheater's toffee, kind of.
People do that with matzah.
Yes, it may have originated there as a Passover thing. That is quite possible.
And so, like, on the one hand, I'm kind of like, well, why would you do that? Why not just, like, make a toffee base?
Because it's real good.
Yeah, I get it.
Something about having that salty cracker in there.
The salty cracker,
yeah.
I get that.
It's not like a poor substitute for real toffee. It's a different thing that is super good in its own way.
Oh, man. Can we link to a recipe for that? I mean, that you need one, but you probably need one for the caramel part.
There are good soda cracker toffee recipes out there. We'll definitely link to one.
Okay, cool.
I made like this big list of everything I could think of that might be considered a holiday cookie before I came up with the rule of the tin.
Mm-hmm.
So let me just go through some of these and we'll say what we think about them. So
is this like a quiz? True or false?
True or
this
false?
Cookie exists or it doesn't exist.
Peanut blossoms.
Is that like a Buckeye?
Is that the no? I can visualize a Buckeye, and that's different. Peanut blossoms are the one that's a peanut butter cookie with a Hershey's Kiss stuck in the top.
I don't know. Those aren't usually very good.
I don't like Hershey's Kisses, but I do like peanut blossoms. Like whenever I've run across one, I'm like, yeah, I enjoyed that cookie.
Huh.
Maybe it's because I have low expectations.
I mean, no, I think I wouldn't like, you know, say no to it. I mean, peanut butter plus chocolate equals delicious. However, I would rather have a Buckeye, which is like what the state cookie of Ohio or something.
The one that looks like a chestnut. Is that right?
Or like a Buckeye.
What is a Buckeye? Is that a chestnut?
Like a buck. It's like a male deer.
Oh, that's what a Buckeye is? But doesn't a Buckeye also refer to like some kind of nut or something?
Maybe, but I always thought that it was about looking like an eyeball.
I'm wrong? I mean, that's probably, no, I think that's probably where the word came from, but it never occurred to me to go so literal
with it. It does
you're
right. It does look more like a chestnut. But anyway, it's basically this kind of like really wonderful kind of crumbly, rich peanut butter ball that is partially dipped in chocolate.
Yeah. How about, I put on the list those haystack cookies that are made with those prefab chow mein noodles covered with chocolate.
Wow, these are like all the cookies that like you make when you're a kid.
Yes.
Wow.
I like those. I have not had one in quite a while, and I don't know if I've ever made them, but every time I've had one, like, this is good. It's chocolate and it's crunchy.
Hey, listen, will you guys make some at Christmas time and also some of the soda cracker toffee so I can try it?
Yeah. Sure. Well, when I mentioned the haystack cookies to my wife, she said she wasn't sure if that was a holiday cookie. But now that we have
a
rubric that we can apply.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. What about, you know, I feel like the holidays are a great time to bust out fussy cookies. Like things.
Yo, I'm busting out fussy cookies.
Bust out.
I'm sorry. Anytime is a good time to bust out fussy cookies.
I just want to keep saying the word fussy cookie.
I mean, it's my favorite thing today.
Anyway, things like apricot crescents or almond crescents, where you're basically like cutting a triangle of dough and then rolling it like a croissant. Like, I think of that as like kind of fussy precious.
Oh, the almond crescents, which I put on the list, right?
Yeah.
Those are good.
Yeah, my mom used to make a different version called an apricot crescent. The dough had cream cheese in it.
Mm.
And then in the middle, she would put apricot jam, and then they would be dusted in powdered sugar. So they didn't have any almonds. It was a different kind of thing.
Wow, I went into this episode thinking, like, I don't know if I have anything to say about holiday cookies. But it turns out, like, I've already thought of the next three cookies I want to talk about.
Wow, cool. Well, anyway, so you know, like, I feel like at no other time of the year do people regularly go, hey, I'm going to roll out a whole bunch of dough, cut it into triangles, and roll it into precious little croissants. But people will do it at the holidays.
Yeah. One time we made homemade crescent rolls, which was not worth doing.
I believe it.
They were fine, but they were not better than the kind from a tube.
I believe it.
So how do you feel about gingerbread men or gingerbread people?
You know, a good gingerbread person is delicious.
Which part do you eat first?
I think I would start with one of the feet.
Yeah.
I think I'd start with the head. I like the idea of getting rid of the head and then you've got like perfect symmetry.
Like how they tell you to like kill a lobster. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I would just drive a knife down at sort of the base of
right.
the brainstem.
I just throw them directly into a pot of boiling water, the gingerbread men.
Yeah.
So I wanted to be sure to mention gingerbread men because one of the funniest things I've ever heard in my life is an episode of the podcast Mike and Tom Eat Snacks, which it's their gingerbread men episode. And there is a long bit about whether you would or would not be indicted for punching a gingerbread man that is the most outrageous piece of comedy I've ever heard.
And awesome.
We will link to that. And it would make me so happy if everyone would go listen to that. But the episode is extremely foul-mouthed and dirty. And that just makes it so much better.
Awesome. What about things like Spritz cookies?
So those are the ones you make with a cookie press, right?
Yes.
I have done that. I would definitely call it busting out a fussy cookie. What's the deal with Spritz cookies? Like, I feel like the cookie press never quite works right, right?
I don't know. We should call upon our friend Louisa Weiss, the Wednesday chef, who has just written a book about German baking. I feel like I've learned from her,
the spritzy chef,
that there is like this real tradition, this like German or Eastern European tradition of like cookies that are pressed or like molded. Like, you know, there are a whole bunch of German Christmas cookies where you're basically like pressing the dough into like a like kind of a mold to like make a cookie in relief.
Right.
And I wonder if Spritz cookies sort of come out of a similar tradition. I don't know.
Is Springerly a type of thing that's related to this?
I think
that
so.
That word just came to mind. I think
so.
I saw it in the King Arthur catalog maybe.
Yeah, I think you're right.
That's all I know about it.
Cool.
So listeners, let us know what a Springerly is. Okay, so I want to talk about something sad and then go back to something happy so we end on a high note. I mean,
okay.
Not that you can't introduce some more stuff. I feel kind of upset when the cookies kind of bump together in the tin and the edges get rounded off and you get crumbs and like a little bit of one cookie, like some frosting from a cookie gets onto another kind of cookie. I don't like that.
This is why I kind of get so obsessive about how I pack my tin and like how much extra cellophane I leave to fold over the top, because it kind of helps fill the nooks and crannies between cookies and segregates them.
Yeah. I don't think every holiday baker is as conscientious as you are.
I think this is just one of many moments that evidence the fact that I am a real Virgo.
I think you're just going to say a real virtuous person.
I'm a real virtuous person.
Yeah, because I've definitely, when I imagine holiday cookies, like the first image that comes to mind is not a positive one. It's like a Ziploc bag with a whole bunch of cookies just getting ground into dust.
You know, another thing that can really help keep your cookies intact is like muffin cups or those like little tiny mini cups. So if you like, you know, in like a tin of Danish butter cookies.
Oh, for sure.
You know
sure.
how those
yes.
are all stacked? I mean, granted, those have like a little layer of like foam almost between layers of cookies.
Yeah.
But anyway, those are all in muffin cups and that really helps.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I do not treat a cookie tin gently. You know, if someone gives me a cookie tin, I will throw it out the window. I like.
So it's kind of like
I'll drag it behind my car.
So instead of tin cans, when people get married,
that's exactly
you just save all the like Christmas tins from year before.
I don't want an empty tin can. Like when I get married, as I do annually, I like to tie a bunch of cookie tins to the back. And then when we get to the honeymoon suite, we eat the cookies.
You know, there was also that time when
that time that we got married.
We got married accidentally. No, there was also that time when instead of the old like seventh grade science project where you had to find a way to suspend an egg within like a milk crate or something and drop it off a second.
Find a way to seduce. Okay.
No, but do you remember? Was there some project in your school where you had to be able to drop an egg off the second floor of a building without it breaking? Right?
Yeah, and I was just like, fuck it, and started flinging eggs.
I'm pretty sure that that's like what you're doing with your cookie tins every year. You like, hey, just got the cookie tin from Molly. Time to figure out how to drop it off my apartment balcony without it busting.
That's exactly it. Yes.
This episode is brought to you by Third Love.
Third Love's 24/7 t-shirt bra might be the most comfortable bra you'll ever own.
It's made out of super soft memory foam. It makes you look good. It feels good. What is not to love?
And you can get a 30-day free trial by going to thirdlove.com/spilledmilk. If you love it, keep it and they'll charge your card. If you don't, send it back and they'll charge you nada.
Woohoo! So start your free trial now at thirdlove.com/spilledmilk.
Last thing I got, two words, chocolate crinkles. What do you think?
What are they? Are they like chocolate rats, but they're like dusted with powdered sugar or something?
Yes.
Okay.
And so they bake up with crinkly tops.
I think if they have a deeply chocolatey flavor, then I'm all for it. But the problem for me with some of these chocolate cookies is they're just not worth it. I want a chocolate cookie to verge on a brownie.
Yeah. But when they're good, they do. All right. What else? Anything else?
Don't mind me. I'm just drinking some water here.
Okay. Well, you know, we've come a long way. Clearly,
baby.
Clearly, I'm done because I said that thing about the individual cookie tins, and I'm going to feel bad about it for the rest of the day.
Yeah, I'm done too.
But it's okay because the election's over, and I feel good about that. Woo! I think, unless it turned out wrong,
Spoon
in which case I feel bad
for
about it.
Everyone.
You can find us online at spilledmilkpodcast.com, where we'll link to that episode of Mike and Tom Eat Snacks. We'll link to a recipe for chocolate malt sandwich cookies. We'll link to the recipe for soda cracker toffee. Anything else?
We can link to the recipes for the things that I mentioned. Some of them are on my blog. I believe the toffee's on my blog, the Russian tea cakes, the spoon cookies, fruit nut balls.
Yeah. All those things. Great.
Yeah.
You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast and tell us which holiday cookies we forgot, because I'm sure we did.
Mm-hmm.
You can leave us a review on iTunes. Mm-hmm. That would be much appreciated.
Always.
Happy American Thanksgiving. Thanks to our producer, Abby Circatella. I'm stalling because I do not have a closing joke. And until next time, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk. Happy holidays. And don't forget to wrap yourself in the national flag of your choice.
I'm Molly Weisenberg.
And I'm Matthew Amster Burton.
A really long setup
for a bit
for
that
a
did not
dumb
pay off.
Joke.
That all right, that's fine, Abby. cut that whole bit out, or Christmas is ruined.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories, but your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.